This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The nation's economy slowed way down, meaning remnants of the recession linger on.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The economy slowed to a crawl with the Commerce Department report this morning that said the nation's gross domestic product was up in the second quarter, but only by a meager 1.3%. That is much lower than expected, and economists say much less than it would take to reduce unemployment. Now, today's report also shows something else that's pretty dispiriting. The recession took a bigger bite out of growth than we thought. From late 2007 to 2009, when the U.S. was officially in a recession, the economy shrank 5.1%, more than a percent higher than earlier reported, which could very well explain why it's taking so long to recover. John Steele Gordon is an economic historian, and he's with us now to talk about it. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Now, this recession, we lost, like, what, more than 5% of growth. Put that into context for us.
Well, that's the biggest it has been in any recession since the Second World War, but far smaller than it was in the Great Depression. The 1929 GDP was around $100 billion. By 1933, it was down to $55 billion.
That's, let's see if I can do my math. That's 45%.
Something like that.
Wow. So how does that number fit into other recessions that we've seen? Forget about the Depression, because that's the one we judge everything by. But what about other recessions?
Well, since the Second World War, we had a post-war recession. That was around 12%. In the early 90s, it was down around 1.4%. And in the early 2000s, it was down a almighty 0.3%. It was barely noticeable.
And if we're looking at, say, how other recessions ended, how do we compare this one?
Well, there are those who say that the recession hasn't really ended, or, you know, it's ended in the economic sense in that we are now growing again. We're not contracting. But, you know, most people look out the window and say, you know, only an economist could be so silly as to say the recession is over. The typical pattern is the steeper the recession, the steeper the recovery. You tend to get a V-shaped valley. Whereas a recession that sort of bumps slowly downward, then the recovery tends to sort of bump slowly upwards. In other words, you get a U-shaped valley. At the moment, though, we had a steep recession, very steep, and yet the recovery has been very sluggish.
Very, very sluggish. And the takeaway from all of this?
Certainty. I mean, economies do not like uncertainty. Markets hate uncertainty. When they don't know what the news is going to be, people are unwilling to invest. What we have right now is a great deal of uncertainty as to what is going to happen in Washington, what is going to happen over the next year and a half, and who's going to win the election. That makes for a lot of uncertainty.
John Steele Gordon, economic historian. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
You can bet those GDP figures are rippling all through Washington at the moment, where there is still no deal to raise the debt ceiling. Talk about uncertainty. The U.S. could default, and its credit rating could be downgraded if we don't get a deal by early next week. But some markets are still shrugging all of that going on off, such as mortgage bonds backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Marketplace's Heidi Moore explains.
Bad mortgage bonds kicked off the economic collapse. During the crisis, the government even officially took over Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So those Fannie and Freddie mortgage bonds, which are backed by the struggling government, may seem like something out of a zombie nightmare movie right now. Two monsters in one. But actually, those mortgage bonds from Fannie and Freddie may be one of the few parts of the market that keep their cool if the U.S. gets downgraded. I talked to Bose George. He's a mortgage analyst with Keefe, Bruyette & Woods. He says mortgage bonds that are backed by the government are basically as safe as bonds from the Treasury. So if Treasury bonds get downgraded to a AA rating, every other bond will get graded on the same curve.
When you have such a big market being downgraded, basically just changes the world and people readjust, and AA becomes the new normal. So collectively we're all going down.
And yes, that's the bright side. About 80% of all new mortgages go through the government, through Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. But what about the rest of the mortgage market? Housing is still lagging behind the rest of the recovery. This debt ceiling crisis certainly won't help that. In New York, I'm Heidi Moore for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The NASDAQ up slightly, but the Dow is down 46 points, about a third of a percent at 12,193. Merck today said its second quarter profit almost tripled over last year, but the drug maker also said it's going to start a restructuring program and cut more than 11,000 jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at allybank.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at jaguarusa.com. For a unique look at all of our Marketplace business and economic sustainability coverage, visit marketplace.org and click on the Sustainability tab.
The Obama administration is going to unveil its new fuel economy standard today. That standard will double the fuel economy for cars to 54.5 miles per gallon by 2025. But European car makers say the new rules discriminate against cars they sell to Americans. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
A White House spokesman said the measure would improve fuel efficiency, cut pollution, and save money for U.S. drivers. But under the new rules, light trucks will get easier treatment. These are among the U.S. industry's best-selling vehicles, while the Europeans tend to export luxury or high-performance sports cars to the U.S. David Bailey is professor of business at Coventry University.
It's quite a clever trick by the U.S. government to be able to say, look, we are doing what we can to reduce oil consumption, cut pollution, create new technology jobs, and at the same time penalize European producers as against American producers.
Other analysts say that if the U.S. were really concerned about fuel conservation, it would tighten up the economy's standard for light trucks, a major source of pollution and greenhouse gas emissions. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And finally, a Lake County, Florida inmate found a way to take advantage of a glitch in the lockup's phone system. Now, inmate accounts are charged for calls and are refunded if a call doesn't go through, but the phone system was accidentally refunding twice as much money to inmate accounts. So Larry Stone started placing calls and hanging up and doing it over and over again until his account racked up more than $1,200, enough to post bond and get out of jail. Other inmates started doing the same thing. The jail officials made the connection, and now Stone is back in jail. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
As China grows economically, the environment hasn't exactly been the first thing on developers' minds.
The pattern in China has been to develop land, not to protect it.
Now some of the country's richest entrepreneurs are changing that pattern. I'm Jeremy Hobson, China's first private nature preserve. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.